The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
If you are saved, lift your hands up. Thank you for changing you. Thank you for changing you by His word. For changing you by His word. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Your hand, your voice. Thank Him this morning. Just pray. I want you to really pray. Really pray. Take your time. Everywhere, online, on ground, really pray. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost. Come on. Pray the Holy Ghost. This morning, and we honor you. We open up our hearts to you this morning, and we receive your word upon good ground in Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. Now it's time to lift your Bible up. Now, hallelujah! Do you have a Bible? Raise it up like this. Say, this is my Bible. Try it again. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Say, today I will be taught the word of God, and I will be changed. My heart is a fertile ground for the word of God to grow and to thrive. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. Because the word of God, written in this Bible, spoken by my man of God, will change my life this morning. Do you believe those words? Shout a big amen. Yeah, have your seat this morning. Hallelujah. Good morning. This is the last Sunday of the month. So fast, right? Amen. And at the beginning of the year, I was telling you, most times when we say January is too long, sometimes it's because you are idle. You're doing nothing. If you're actually busy, January can be really fast. I think it's one of the fastest January ever. But before I still remember when we all said Happy New Year. In fact, we are still saying Happy New Year. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to say to you, not part of my message this morning, but if you are still in the euphoria of Christmas and New Year, you better wake up. Oh, the first moon, this day is the last Sunday like this. Can you see? You know, that's why immediately we finish our celebration, the Christmas, whatever, I told them to remove all the Christmas lights from the screen, from the church. And maybe you still have that in your house. Go and remove it too. The year has started. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God this morning?
Yes,
are you ready this morning?
Yes,
so continue from where we stopped last time. How to respond to God's word. Responding to God's word is getting better. This part what now? Part. Okay. Whatever part you are is fine. Hallelujah. We're going to round up this teaching on Thursday. It's been an impactful series. Don't you think so? A timely one at that. And all we are trying to show in this series is that even though the word of God has the power, the potency to change men, it will not change everybody at the same frequency and in the same way. And listen, that is not up to God. That's not up to God. There are many things that we've carelessly left up to God. And God never left those things to himself. Never ask God to do what he has asked you to do. Never expect God to do what he has put in your hands. So we come to church, three people are sick. Two people get healed. One person doesn't get healed. And we say, well, that's up to God. That's how God wanted it. That's not entirely correct. Are you what I'm saying? It is about how you respond to the word of God. A pastor gives a prophetic word, and then five people are changed. One person is left the same. We say, well, that's how God wanted it. Not exactly. We teach the word of God in church that has the capacity to change people's levels. And then after 5 years, one person has been changed by that word. The other person, his life is still the same. And we say that's how God wants it. That's not also correct. I get the point? It is man's response to the word of God that will determine the outcome of the word in his or her life. The word of God is a seed, right? Now, and it's a viable seed. Once that seed is sown, it can produce different results. Many things can contribute to the result it can produce. For instance, the soil, the kind of soil we are using. Talking about agriculture now. So we can bring the same seed, bring like 100 of the same seed, same viability, same potency, and I will sow them. Different soils will give us different results. I get to the point. For instance, there are some crops, like I've always been saying, that will not do well in eastern Nigeria. There are some of them that will do well in northern Nigeria. In fact, there are some that will not do well in Nigeria at all. Hallelujah. Now, nothing is wrong with the seed. It's now a question of where you put that seed. Okay, apart from the seed, okay, apart from the soil rather, other things can affect whether a seed can do well or not. Think of what you did after you planted it. We can plant on very good soil. One person keeps watering his own. One person fertilizes his own. And yet, the other person doesn't. You have different results. And that's where the word of God is. The same word that comes all of us this morning, that is even coming this morning, can change someone's fortune. To another person, it will not do anything to the person. And it's all dependent on his response to it. You see, this is January. One thing that characterizes January in many churches is plenty of prophecies. This is going to be your year of this. This will be your year of that. This will be your year of this and that. And all those keep coming. Now, at the end of the day, not many people will reap those words. And that's not dependent on God again. That's dependent on man. And how you respond to the word. How you respond to the word. For instance, from the first day, we've gone very fast, so I need to refer to other parts of this teaching. For instance, this morning, I'm going to start teaching the word. Some persons came into the church this morning without their writing material. That already is showing you a wrong approach and wrong response to the word of God. And if you're like that this morning, this is not to condemn you. It is to ask you to adjust. You can't possibly be going to a church where you expect that the word of God will be taught and you'll be changed, and you just go empty-handed. That writing, that the fact that you came with the writing material is speaking something. It's speaking expectation. It's saying, I'm expecting the word to be taught. Hallelujah. The next thing it means when you go with the writing material is that you are ready to document the word spoken. But I've shown us, God's word doesn't change many people, because when those words come, they will rejoice, they will be blessed, but they will forget it. I can tell you, any information you do not write down, in 3 months, 3 months is even far, in 1 month, you've lost at least 85% of that information. Now, take what I'm very seriously. At least 85% of that information. You might have an idea of what was said. You might have an idea of what was preached. But you've lost a major percentage of that information. And that's why you write. That's why you write. So it's about response to God's word. Write the vision, Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Write the vision, make it plain. That was God speaking to Habakkuk. Write the vision, make it plain. In other words, when God gives you a vision, write it. When God speaks to you, write it. I get to the point. Isaiah chapter 8, bind up the law, the testimony among my disciples. You find out all about the scriptures. Writing is very important. When God gave the law to Moses upon the mountain, he wrote it for him. He didn't assume that Moses will remember. He wrote it and gave it to him. After Moses broke those laws, for Moses to give the Israelites those laws again, he had to write it. He didn't just say it to them. He wrote it and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that's tell how important it is to write. I'm just using that as an example. Another example, for instance, this morning is focus. As you are teaching now, some person is going to be distracted. Some person is going to sleep off. Some person is going to be on his or her phone replying message that no important person is sending. And now, after everything, he is wondering, why are people in that church testifying that their lives changed? I've been going there for the past 3 months. Nothing happened to me. The time when your word was coming, you were on your phone. When it was time for you to be changed, you went out to look for who is not looking for you. And I said that jokingly in this church. There are people that are coming to church that can never, it is a sin for them to sit down till the message is over. It's not possible. They must stand up to go and see somebody or to go and do something. What is wrong with your buttocks? What is exact? Sit down. Sit down. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. The Bible said that when Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 14, he was teaching at Lystra. The way the man that was crippled there was looking at him, Paul saw him and perceived that he had faith to be healed because of the kind of focus that man gave to the word. Paul saw him and said, ah, this one has faith to be healed. Now, talking about focus. So it's about how you receive the word. For instance, again, I can give you an example this morning. How people use their tongue. We can be here shouting, you know, thus says the Lord, this, that is going to happen to you. Someone is shouting, amen. The other person is just keeping quiet. You know what is happening? One is receiving the word, the other person is not. I'm just saying that the impact of the word of God in your life is dependent on how you receive it, how you respond to it. And again, what you do with that word when you go home. We'll be looking at that all the while. What you do, because some people don't know how to receive the word in church. Some know how to receive it in church. They listen well. They stay focused. They even take notes when the word is coming. They just do all of that. But then when they get to them, they don't know what to do with that word when they get to them. You know what they've done? They've learned how to plant the seed. They've not learned how to water. They've not learned how to weed. They've not learned how to fertilize and all of that. I get the point? And then the word will not produce the same results. So we've covered a lot of ground. We've shown how to respond to teachings, how to respond to instructions, how to respond to corrections, how to respond to prophecies. Because prophecy is also the word of God. We'll wrap that up on Thursday. And today, like I promised you, I will talk about how to respond to impartations. Are you still here? Impartations. And in case you wonder what is impartation, you know, simply put, Okay? You know, not by definition now, but we're just talking about how to respond to when the blessing of God is spoken over you by someone higher than you. And by higher than you, we're not saying some Christians are better than some Christians. We're just saying God has placed some Christians over some Christians. Is that okay? God has placed some people over some people. Please, that should not be a problem for you. Okay? Romans 12 verse 3 tells us that even though all of us are equal, he said we should not think of ourselves higher than we ought to. In other words, some people are higher. Hebrews 13 verse 17, he said, obey them that have the rule over you. So he tells that in church, there are some that have the rule over you. God has placed some over some people. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he said, Acts 20 and verse 28, he said, take ye therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So the Holy Ghost makes people overseers over some people. And that's the place of pastors. That's the place of ministers. That's the place of prophets. There are people that God has placed over you. What is impartation? Impartation is when those people are speaking over you. Whether sometimes this happens by laying on of hands. Sometimes this happens by just spoken word. That's impartation. Now, what is the difference? You know, sometimes what's the difference between this and prophecy? Well, impartations can be prophecies, but not all prophecies are impartations. For instance, if you're having a Holy Ghost meeting here, I mean, anybody can give anybody a prophetic word, right? God can speak to anybody. Your friend can tell you, see what the Lord is saying to me. Okay? But that in itself is not really impartation. When you have to receive impartation from someone, it has to come from someone that is higher, or at least someone you esteem higher at that point. Because can your friend impart you? Yes. But you see, that's why I'm doing this teaching. How you receive a prophetic word from a friend should not be the same way you receive an impartation from the same person. Prophetic word is somebody saying, look at what the Lord said to me, thus says the Lord, da, 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 da. That's something. Impartation is when the person possibly is, maybe you are kneeling, or the person is laying hands on you and speaking over you. The way the Bible put it in Hebrews 7 verse 7, it says, without contradiction, the lesser is blessed of the greater, of the better. The lesser is blessed, or the less is blessed of the better. In other words, it's when someone that is highly placed, more highly placed than you, or someone you esteem highly, at least at that moment, speaks a word over you. That is impartation. And you must know how to receive it. If not, it's not going to work in your life. It's not going to work in your life. There are many people that have received impartations and their lives changed totally. I mean, just by kneeling and the man of God speaks over them and it changes them totally. I mean, it changes the trajectory of their life, changes everything. There are some others that will be in that same meeting, receive the same impartation, and yet nothing will happen to them. And impartation is something you find all over scriptures. For instance, in Genesis chapter 27, you know, I can show you many scriptures today. In Genesis 27 and verse 26, the Bible tells us, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. This is Isaac speaking unto Jacob. At least at this point, he thought it was Esau, but it was Jacob he was speaking to. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. And he said, see the smell of my son. He blessed him and said, see the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which God has blessed. Therefore, the Lord God gave thee the dew of heaven. He began to bless him. Okay, we'll come back to this very shortly. But you see, by impartation, Isaac is speaking a blessing over Jacob. Over Jacob. That is the principle of impartation right there. Speaking a blessing over someone, over Jacob. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, we read about how they brought little children to Jesus so that he could put his hands on them. That is impartation. They brought little children to him so that he can bless them, so that he can speak over them, so that he can lay hands on them. And again, that here is Jesus practicing impartation, because you notice the disciples rebuked those people bringing those kids, and Jesus stopped them. Jesus rebuked them. He told them, don't stop the little children. In other words, I really want to speak over them. I really want to pray over them. We must understand the power of impartation, how that it can change a lot of things around us. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, we read about how in verse 2, a word came. That was prophecy. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. What is that, verse 2? That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. A word of the Lord came. Verse 3, they prayed for them and now laid hands on them. Imparted, that's impartation now. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's impartation. Now, let me say, there are things that your friend cannot do for you. That's a story for another day. For instance, to lay hands on them and send them on their way is what impartation can, is what a father, a church leadership, a mentor above you can do. And it's by impartation, so they let us and bless them. That's not just prophecy. So I've shown you impartation. I'm just trying to rush through this. I've shown you impartation in the Old Testament, in Genesis. I've shown you impartation in the four Gospels, how Jesus practiced that. And I'm showing you now again in the book of Acts. Is that okay? In the book of Acts, for you to see that from generation to generation, this was practiced. If you go further again, you'll find that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, how Paul told Timothy to neglect not the gift that is in him, that came on him by prophecy. Look at that. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So here we are seeing the presbytery lay hands on Timothy, and they were prophesying. And by that, Paul is telling Timothy that he received the spiritual gift. By that impartation. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, Paul talks about Timothy again and talks about his impartation. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. How did that gift come? By the putting on of my hands. So we see that hands, laying of hands is something that is very, very well practiced. Okay, in the Bible all over. And we see this used to minister many things. For instance, one of the things that can be complicated through impartation is healing. Healings are miracles. Healings are miracles. By laying on of hands, by impartation, okay, miracles can work, can be worked. Healings can be imparted, can be given. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 25. I wait for you now to open your Bible. I've just been quoting. So open your Bible now. Mark chapter 8 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, and after that, because from 22, we see that he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. So these people understood that Jesus' touch could heal. He besought him to touch him, okay? And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees. And he put his hands on him again, upon his eyes, and made him look up. So Jesus healed this man by putting hands on him. So we are seeing the laying on of hands, because impartation actually, because I want to say this, impartation mostly works with laying on of hands, but not all the time. Not all the time, okay? I can impart you without laying hands on you. For instance, if I'm in a general crowd, I can speak words of blessing over you, and I don't have to put my hands on you. But if I'm maybe in a one-on-one meeting, or maybe if there's a smaller crowd, or something that's based on specific instructions, I can put my hands on you. But we see Jesus practice this, and in this case, the man began to see clearly. So hands can be laid, and healing will be ministered. How many of you have ever received a healing through the laying on of hands anytime in your life? Hands can be laid, and when hands are laid, healings are ministered. Miracles are wrought. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4, verse 40, Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, We read again about how Jesus used laying on of hands to minister healing. Bible said that when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. How did he heal them? He put his hands on them. And so we are seeing that laying of hands can minister healing. But what we are trying to say this morning actually is that even though laying of hands can minister healing, hands can be laid on 15 sick people. 13 will be well. 2 will not be well. And it's not because anything is wrong with the hand or anything is wrong with the word of God. It's about how you respond when hands are now laid on you. That I mean what you receive when hands are laid. I feel what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. It can minister healing. But not all of us receive. Say, so this is what I'm saying. I remember one day, Pastor laid hands on me. I was still more sick after he prayed. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That your response to the word of God, your response to God's word spoken when hands are laid on you, will determine whether you are going to go with the result of that hand laid, or you are just going to return home the same way. So first we see laying of hands used to minister healing. Again, laying of hands can be used to communicate even material blessings. Material blessings. Someone can lay hands on you and speak over you, and your financial fortune will turn around. Yes, and you find that again and again in scriptures. For instance, one of the most pronounced one is Genesis 27 and verse 27. What was the blessing that Isaac spoke over Jacob? Genesis 27 verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. What was the blessing? He said, see the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which God has blessed. Verse 28, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn, plenty of wine. Let people serve thee, let nations bow to thee, be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, blessed be everyone that blessed thee. This is impartation happening here. He was speaking to him about how the Lord will give him, you know, when, you know, I was looking at the words he spoke over Esau much later. He told Esau, you will be far from the riches of the earth. Hallelujah. Spoken words, very powerful. Let people serve thee. Let God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth. That's a father speaking over his children. That's why if you're a biological father here and you have wisdom, there are certain things you must say over your kids all the time. All the time. God give thee the dew of the heaven. Give me like NLT of this verse. So I understand it in a more recent context. He said, from the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. You know, I always teach that, and I'm going to come to this much later today. I always teach that by the time Jacob was running away from the house, the only thing he had were these words. He didn't have, Bible said he passed over Jordan with only his staff. He had nothing. Because if you read the next verse 29, after he blessed him, verse 30, immediately he finished speaking, Esau came back. As soon as he started blessing Jacob, almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his sons. So then Esau came back, Rebecca told him, well, yeah, let's run. He didn't have time to pack nothing. He didn't have time to take any extra thing. He left his father's house, which only this was spoken to him. And he came back abundantly blessed. It was those words that carried him to the house of Laban, that as Laban was trying so hard to cheat Jacob, the guy was prospering. He just went with those words. That's the power of impartation. And if look for that verse. When he came back, he met Esau. And he told Esau, I passed over Jordan with only my staff in my hand. I passed over Jordan with only my staff in my hand. He said, and now I've returned back two companies. In other words, he passed over Jordan. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. He didn't have money. He didn't have extra food. He didn't have extra slippers. He just had the staff. What is that staff? His walking stick. Nothing is spiritual about the staff. I get to the point. Don't say spiritual staff. He passed with, in fact, the translation said he passed over Jordan with only his walking stick. He just passed. But glory to God, he came back better. And all he had was that the father told him that he will have the riches of the earth. That's all he had. And that's the power of impartation. Another person could have, because we're going to look at this Jacob story. How did Jacob receive this impartation? So much so that it worked in his life that he never saw his father again. He just left and came back better. So again, we are seeing impartation used to minister material blessings. Used to minister over people's material resources. And that's what I'm going to say. It is not strange for a believer to say, Pastor, lay hands on me and pray over my finances. That is not strange. And if someone is making you feel stupid for doing that, I like to remind the other person that makes you feel stupid for doing that is visiting his babalawo and asking his babalawo to make sacrifice for him. So nobody should make you look stupid. Everybody has who is speaking over them. You must have yours. I get what I'm saying? And that's why some things I'm going to say this morning, if God permits me, about the principle of impartation. You know, that's why many believers don't enjoy this because they don't know how it works. But let's just be going. Let's see if we'll get there today. Amen. Okay, I think they found it. Genesis 32 verse 10. He said, I'm not worthy of the unfailing love and faithfulness you've shown me, your servant. He said, when I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I own nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. Just a walking stick. Now, how come he came back better? Words you have spoken over him. And that's part of impartation. So we see impartation used to minister material blessings. Impartation also can be used to communicate, mostly in scriptures, we see it being used to communicate spiritual things. Hands can be laid on you and you begin to pray in tongues. Hands can be laid on you and you begin to heal the sick. Hands can be laid on you and certain supernatural flows will open up in your life. Some of things that can happen. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, we've read it again and again. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, that came upon thee by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So there were certain gifts that began to work in Timothy when hands were laid on him. I'd like you to always expect that. That hands can be laid on you and you begin to heal the sick. Hands can be laid on you, you begin to prophesy. And you notice you go to meetings and then hands are laid on people. If you want to speak in tongues, come out. And over 100 people come out. And their hands are laid on them. About 70 will pray in tongues. 30 will go back and say, I didn't speak. And people think it was just up to God. They didn't want to speak. No, sir. It wasn't up to God. It was up to them. And that's why I'm doing this teaching this morning. Because if you respond the way you should, you will pray in tongues. It's the same word spoken over A that was spoken over D. And in case you don't know, God is no respecter of persons. What he will do for one, he will do for all. In fact, the way I like putting it, I heard that from A. Allen. He said, what God will do for one, he will do for all. What he will not do for one, he will not do for anybody. And that's how God operates. Give example, salvation. Salvation is available to everybody. But not everybody is going to go to heaven. Because some will reject salvation. But what has God done? Make it available to all. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Glory.
I say glory to God.
Glory.
And so it's important we're looking at some of these things. So how you respond to it will determine how well it's going to be a blessing to you. So you see, it ministers spiritual things. In Numbers 27, for instance, and verse 18. Numbers 27 and verse 18. And the Lord said, have you opened it? No, do I open my Bible? I don't know if you try draw your sword with me, you will run. Have you opened it now? Can you do draw your sword? Let's start drawing sword now. So if you have it, I have it. I'll try you again. So Numbers 27 and verse 18. Some people are drawing, so are pressing their sword. But the sword is on their phone. Glory to God. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thy hand on him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him. This is very powerful. He said, and the whole Israel will be obtained to him. So by impartation, Moses put some of his honor upon Joshua. What does that even mean? Give me another translation of this. Maybe New Living Translation or something. Of there, verse 11. He said, transfer some of your authority to him. Authority can be transferred. That's actually what we do. That's why we must understand spiritual things. If I'm here now, and I say, oh, there's a new ushering called, and I call him out and lay hands on him, I've transferred some of my authority to the person by impartation. I get to the point. So there is a new center we're planting around Gariki. I call anybody and lay hands on him. I've transferred some of my honor to the person to man that place. That person now carries a spiritual authority from heaven to govern that area, and it came by impartation. I get to the point. Give me like I'm Fire Classic or another translation. He said, put some of your honor and authority upon him. So I can transfer, and it's my impartation. It's my impartation. Give me a message. It's my impartation. He said, pass your magisterial authority over to him, so that the whole congregation of Israel, the people will listen to him obediently. So, actually, authority can be passed. Certain honor can be passed upon people by impartation. He says, so how did he pass it? Did you miss verse 19? Give him a charge before the people. Verse 18 said, give me verse 19. Go to verse 19. Set him before Eleazar and all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. So that's the things you're going to say unto him. Verse 18 said, lay hands on him. He said, lay the hand on him. Now, I'm trying to show you how authority was passed to Joshua. Bring him out. Lay hands on him. Verse 19, give him a charge. The speak was to him. By this action, some of your honor will fall on him. That's why I'm going to say to you, actually, there are many things we do in church that are not actually casual. All this lay hands on people, it's not a casual thing, though. It's a casual thing. Just like last 2 Sunday during immersion, I announced some pastors. This one has changed. I transferred some pastors to different places. And I laid this on them. That's not ceremony. That is putting some certain authority upon them to man that place. If that hand was not laid on them, they don't have that authority to handle that place. They don't. I follow what I'm saying? Impartation is actually a lot. It's actually a lot. But again, it's about how you respond to it. That's what I'm doing. It's about you respond to it. Let me say this to you. I have literally seen some people here, and some of you can testify, change their levels after certain impartations. Yeah. I've seen some people here begin to flow. I've laid hands on some people, and some of you have experienced it. I can lay hands on and say, oh, from there I can now teach. And you now go out there to preach the Bible, and you are teaching and explaining. But even you are wondering, you are amazed at your own teaching ability. And you know with all your heart you didn't learn this from anywhere. That's part of impartation. I can put this on and say, from now you can heal the sick. And then you just find yourself. The main thing I'm going to say about impartation is, I don't know if God will, time will allow me, and if God will allow me. Because there are many ways to receive impartation. I know, Bishop David Adekpo will share a story of an impartation he received from Kenneth Copeland, but in that particular case, the man wasn't present. I don't know if I'll get to that today. He said, after the impartation, he went to sleep that night, and his eyes opened, and he saw himself praying for a man. The man's hand was cut off, and maggots and stuffs were coming up from the hand. And he saw himself praying for the man in the dream. He got up, and the Lord told him, the realm of creative miracles just opened up by impartation. I get the point. Spiritual things can be communicated by the laying on of hands. But then it's about, because this particular story, let me tell the story. Because what actually happened in that story, he came to a place, to a hotel, and they told him, Brother Copeland just left this hotel. Yes. And he told them, he said, I want to pay for the exact room that Brother Copeland left. I get the point. I'm telling you a story. And he said, okay, fine. And he prayed. He paid for the room. Entered the room. And he laid down, began to pray. Not like idolizing anything, but he said, Lord, your servant laid here. And I walk into the same grace that walks upon his life. He prayed so much that night and now slept and had that vision. Do you know many other people use that room? Yes, nothing happened to them. I get to the point. Was whatever brother Bishop Boyedokwe got from that room, was it available in that room? Yes, but then other people used it and just left. He laid and prayed through that. Say, Lord, whatever your servant has is working in my life, and he began to walk actually. Now, many people have been going to that room. There was a cleaner that cleaned that room. There was a cleaner that cleaned it. That tells you that it's not availability that is the problem. It's your response. It's your response. So I can speak words here that has the ability to catapult people from zero to five million. Yet someone is going to be here and go from zero to minus 10. Now, I'm telling you, these things can happen. I know because we are not well taught, the easiest thing to do is to blame it on God, or blame it on pastor, or blame it on prophet. All these people, they're just playing with our head, which I it doesn't work. I was in that church, they were shouting, nothing happened to me. I get to the point. So you must know how to maximize these things. So, through impartation, some honor, some authority was put upon Joshua. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9 tells us the implication of that impartation. He said, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses, the man of God, had laid his hands on him. Look at that. Say, Joshua son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom for Moses had laid his hands on him. So it was so clear to show that Joshua didn't learn this wisdom by attending any school. It was because hands were laid on him. So hands can be laid on you, and the certain wisdom of God begin to walk upon your life. So expect that. Amen. I said expect that. How does the partition work? How does the offense work? The whole thing is, it works with the word of God being spoken. So observe that when hands are laid, words will be spoken. Now, hear what I'm going to say. When hands are laid, words will either be spoken on the spot or words have been spoken before. I give an example. If I lay hands on you and I begin to speak words, that is impartation taking place. First Timothy 4 verse 14, neglect not the gift that is upon thee, that came upon thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. So prophecy works with laying on of hands. So it tells you when hands were laid on Timothy, what was happening? They were speaking. They were prophesying. I showed you about Joshua. When hands were laid on him, there was a charge given to him. Right? But then there are cases in church where we just learn something and we don't speak over them. Just learn. Say, what happens there? Most times, words have already been spoken before. I can say, you know, right as I'm talking to you, there is an impartation of the gift of faith in the house. Everybody shouts, you know, glory, and I begin to lay hands on people. Now, I really don't need to say much when I touch you. Words have gone forth. That word I've gone forth is now, that I've gone forth is cooperating with the hands I'm laying on you. So, impartation works with words. Words. That's why we're talking about how to respond to the word of God this morning. How do you respond to those words spoken at impartation? How do you respond? When words are spoken over you, what are you supposed to do? Are you following me? How are we going to make sure that those words spoken over us will work? Will work. Now, I'll give you some keys this morning. Number one, how to maximize impartation, how to make sure, you know, that you receive impartation as well and that it works in your life. First of all, value for the impartation. There must be value for the impartation. There must be value for the impartation. Value for the impartation. The problem is many of us don't know the value of what happens. And because you don't actually know the value of impartation, you are not going to really appreciate it that much. And because you don't appreciate it that much, it's not going to work in your life. You know, I'll give you some examples. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, neglect not the gift that came upon you. So he was reminding Timothy of that impartation. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it. Neglect means don't make light of that experience. Because some people make light of experiences. I'm just going to say, I just lay hands on you. You say, amen, amen. And they think it's just something that happened. I wish you know the kind of spiritual transaction that goes on where hands are laid. You will value that moment. Go to Genesis 27, everybody. Verse 6. Have you drawn your sword now? Have you seen it? Because I'm there. If you're there, say I'm there. Did you see it? Did you punch it? Amen. Are we there now? Now, Rebecca said unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, bring me venison and make me savory meat, and I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. So, you know the background of the story. Rebecca preferred Jacob to Esau for whatever reason. And that's not a good thing. But then she had a favorite son. And Isaac was just following order. Esau is the first child. So bring me venison. Come bring me. I'll come to this much later now. Come bring me venison. Come bring venison means prepare food for me. Prepare good food for me. Let me bless you. And Esau said, okay, and ran out to go do that. And then Rebecca sneaks in and calls Jacob and says, I heard that this happened. And in verse 8, he said, down there for my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids. He said, come bring, let me cook. Let me cook. This is my husband. I know the kind of food he will like. Let me cook it for him so I can give it to him. I'll cook it for you. I get the point. So I can bless you. Again, I'm asking, what are they fighting over? Huh? The blessing. So they understood, they had value for what was about to happen. I always say this whenever I teach on this verse. The average Nigerian guy will be fighting for the father's well, the father's land, the father's, because Isaac was a wealthy man. Not one of them talked about his property. In fact, Jacob got the blessing and ran away. Left the property for Esau and ran. Because their concern was that impartation. That value they placed on it. To the point that Rebecca had to play games to get it. That value. Many of us don't value actually what goes on in church. We just think learning of it is one of, because we do it a lot in church. I think just one of those things. I can tell you for free, there was a time in my life, some of you already know this story. There was a time in my life, in my ministry, I stopped laying hands on people. Yes. I thought I was going to stop doing that. And the reason was simple. I didn't understand the fact that I could lay hands on people, they fall down, they get up, they are the same. They fall down, they get up, they are the same. I get to the point. Same falling, same getting up, same, nothing changes. No progress in their work with God. Nothing. And I said, this is not working. I'm going to stop doing this. Until I had to go sit down to restudy this process. But that didn't last long. So I didn't do it for long. It was a very short time. It was in my mind. I said, I'm not going to do this again. Every time I go to meetings, there are certain people there in those meetings. Before you say Jack, they're already on the floor. I get the point. Once we say, power of God, all of them, yeah. And they get up, they serve their bad character and everything. So I told myself, I don't like deceiving myself. I like being very sincere to myself. So I say, take it. Yeah, get. One of them finished doing that, and by the time we could step out of the church, just behind the church, was insulting somebody. Say, idiot. So I told myself, I'm not gonna do this again. I don't like fooling myself. Until God took me to what I'm gonna take you through. Showing me that in God's word actually works. It's just that people don't walk it. I get to the point. People don't. Because we do impartations a lot, people have lost value. I'm trying to show you. It's a beautiful moment. You must treasure the moment things are laid on you. You must treasure the moment when words are spoken over you. These guys had high value for this practice. High value for this practice. It wasn't just yet another moment for them. It was so important to them that Jacob had it, got it, and ran away. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 17 tells us that later, when Esau wanted to seek that blessing, he sought it with bitter tears.
I love what Peter, he said, he sought it definitely with tears. Give me like NLT. I love NLT. He said, you know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. What was he begging? Just one blessing. Speak a word over me. How important was that? The average Nigerian would have said, I'll not send you. You don't want to speak, Abi? A day or day, make a day my day. I'll still succeed. You will see me. You don't know. That's how it works. I get to the point. How it works. Bitter tears. Was crying. Imagine you see a young man crying today, begging pastor to lay hands on him. They say these people are brainwashed. I get what I'm saying. They are brainwashed. What is in that pastor that is not in your hand? You hear the point? What is in Isaac's hand that is not in? Where is this? This is so. I don't like people that I don't have self-esteem. Your father said, "Will not bless you. You go your way." You say, "If you have hand, put it upon your own hand and speak." You know, sometimes we speak boldly but foolishly. You know, boldness is not always wisdom. Some people are foolishly bold. They are bold with their foolishness. I saw a man of God at the airport and people are rushing after him to lay hands on them. That can never be me. What is in his hand? Let me tell you, we are all equal in Christ Jesus. We are not. We are equal in fellowship in Christ Jesus. Equally loved by God. Equally righteous. Are you getting the point? Equally righteous, equally loved by God. Equally accepted by Him. Equal in righteousness. We are equal in the Spirit of God dwells in all of us equally. However, by our responsibility and our assignments, we are not actually equal. God placed some people over some people. I know what I'm talking about. I must appreciate that. That's what Paul was telling them in Romans 12 and verse 3. He said that I am speaking to you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. In other words, some people are higher than you. And some people can, you know, one of these you must know, I don't know if I will get all of that today. You must be able to recognize the people that carry the blessings in your life. Not everybody does, but some people do. I can give you some examples. Your biological parents, they carry the blessing in your life. I get what I'm saying? They may not be perfect. They may not even be church people. I get what I'm saying? They won't be, but by virtue of the fact that they gave birth to you. And that's why if your father or your mother curses you, don't make light of it. Yes, do right. Do it right. Beg them. Now, it's a different case when they are cursing you because of your faith and they're not going to revert and all of that. Fine. That is a way to deal with that one. You get the point? When they say, I'm going to curse and nothing you do, you beg, but you say nothing. Fine. We see that in the Bible. That's a way to deal with that. It happened with Jacob and Reuben. When Jacob put a curse on Reuben, by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses spoke and reversed whatever Jacob put on Reuben. You get the point? He said, let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. So there is a place for that. But please, don't make people carry, your father carries a blessing in your life. Your mother, they carry the blessing. That's why, for instance, in this church, we don't begin your marital process here. We will not even, the only thing we can do is to lead you to pray and you've made your choice. Once you want to start your marital process here, we must ask you to get a letter. A letter from your parents. People that have got to marry there know. There was a letter from the both parents showing that we've given our approval for these two to get married. Are you not aware? I have many of those letters in my office. I've raised this another one last week. You must keep it. You get the point? Now, when that letter has come, we start our process. We will do the counseling and all of that for you. Start the planning. Secondly, we cannot wed you on this stage or altar, whatever you call it. We can't wed you unless you have fulfilled your traditional rights with your father and mother in the village. Yes. No bride price, no wedding. Yes, actually, because we recognize that even though church wedding is important to us, There are people, for instance, your father and mother, they carry a certain blessing over your life. And let them be able to give you over in marriage. What if we are done wedding in church and you get home and they say they're not accepting? Maybe you go to the guest place and you guys fall out. I get what I'm saying. And what we'll do some of these things. That's why I tell some of you, once in a while, send gifts home. Let your father pray for you. Send gifts home. Let your mother pray for you. I get what I'm saying. Let them bless you. And when they bless you, do not just take it as yes, mommy. Say amen. Once again, one to go say amen. Take it seriously. Place value on that impartation. I get what I'm saying. Place value on it. Place value on it. Say God bless you. Say amen. God prosper you. Amen. I get what I'm saying now. Place value. Your father, your parents, your pastor carries a blessing over your life. Your pastor. Spiritual father, your pastor. Very important. I didn't say any pastor. Right? I said your pastor. Whenever I said, he must be wise. Not every pastor carries or praise the same spiritual authorities to bless you. Because impartation, that's now, I'm talking about something else now. First I said place value on it. I'm saying again now, impartation works better by relationship. Yes. That's why occasionally that can happen. But I don't encourage people, I don't encourage Christians to run from place to place, church to church, look for who will lay hands on them. Go read your Bible. How Elijah was imparted, or rather Elijah imparted Elisha, but there have been mentorship going on. That's why I may not be as big yet as any man of God, as popular yet as any man of God. But you see, when it has to do with my own people that God has given me, my word over them cannot fail. I understand that one. It can't fail. You must know people that carry the blessing over your life. And value every impartation that comes from them. Your pastor carries a blessing. Your spiritual father. Fathers are blessers. That's what they're called to do. Biological, spiritual, they are blessed. They're there to bless. All people that carry a blessing over your life, for instance, are people that have been given authority by your spiritual father. Just like Moses and Joshua that we saw. Moses gave Joshua authority. Again, all people that can carry the blessing now are people I like calling fathers in the body. There are fathers in the body. They may not really be your spiritual father or something, but no, there are fathers that God has placed over the body. I get to the point? So that can happen. But then I'm saying to you generally, know people that carry blessing over your life and value the impartation. This, you read the story of Jesus and the children, they were bringing the children to Jesus to put hands on them. They were doing it, and disciples were sending them away, and they kept fighting to bring the children. That is value for the impartation. That's actually what we do in child dedication. Child dedication is not actually an opportunity to go come and dance and dance away your sorrow. It is you bringing your child for your pastor to put hands on him. That's why dedicating children is not about dancing. It's not even about the gift you bring. If you have a gift, it's okay, but that's not the point. I get what I'm saying? It is because hands has to be laid on those kids. You must value it. You must value it. If you place value on it, it determines how well it's going to bless you. If you see it as just another moment, just another thing that can just happen, that's how it's going to work in your own life. Are you following me? And I've kept saying to you, the reason why negative words spoken over people work more is because they value those words, those moments more. They don't actually know. I always give this example. If I'm passing along the road and I just see one of you, I say, how far? I say, I'm fine. So how is that your business? Say, he's doing good. I say, well, don't worry, you're blessed, you're blessed. But he will say, amen, amen. In 2 weeks, he has forgotten that we ever had that encounter. He has forgotten it. But if he's going down the staircase and meet somebody wearing red and yellow with chalk in his eyes, frowning his face, I looked at him and said, that's your business. You will not succeed. He said, God forbid, Holy Ghost fight. You know the point? That thing will stick to his mind. He will fight. He will declare 3 weeks fasting.
to pray and avert it. Why did he not declare 3 weeks fasting to pray and work out that blessing I spoke over him down there? Somehow he values the other moment more. Can I say he believes the other one more than he believes what I say to him? I get the point. It's about value. It's about value. So you can do 3 weeks. So you see a dream where you are driving. This is another story now. Where you are driving, maybe you have 1 naira and you have minus. I was talking about minus last week, Abby. You have minus 200 naira in your account. Then you go to your dream and you see yourself where you are driving. What car do you want to drive now? A G-Wagon. You are driving a G-Wagon with your friends. You wake up and you start laughing. Say, Reba. Reba, this hunger is bad. But imagine you go to sleep and you see where there was an accident that hit you and you died. You can't say it's in Reba. You're going to wake up and declare fasting. Somehow, you just believe the negative more. If I were here, I'll wake up and begin to and declare fasting over the other one. That who is going to happen in my lifetime? And very soon. I'm talking about response now. Response. I get the point. You must value the moments when God is blessing you. When God is speaking over you, value it. That's what Paul told Timothy. Neglect not that moment. Don't neglect that thing. That thing happened. It wasn't just yet another meeting. It's a treasured moment. There are certain treasured impartations that I have in my life. I cannot forget. Every time I go to see my pastor, every time I'm having a meeting, every time I'm talking on the phone, and he's speaking, I treasure the moment. I know something is working at the moment. I know. And value is one. And I'm talking about the next one already, which is relationship. It makes the impartation work, makes it work faster. And that's again why you should have a church. Yes, because it is easier for the word spoken over you by your pastor to work than for just any careless work. That's why you must have a church, commit there. I say it all the time, I want to say it again. There are a lot of people that demand the privilege of sonship and are not sons. And I said, I'm not saying that against anybody, but I keep saying it. I was talking to one of our pastors last Sunday after service. We were talking about a certain brother. That brother had an issue and he worked very hard to get me to come and pray in his family. It didn't work. He said, why? I didn't go. Why didn't I go? I didn't want to go. I was busy, quite all right. But I know if I wanted to actually stretch myself to be there, I'll be there. Even if I was not going to be there, I could send people to go and represent me and give them my authority. They would do the same thing I would have done if I come there. But I didn't go. And things went bad. And when he told me things have gone bad, I sympathized with him. And that's all I could do. Why? He's not a son. He's somebody that, you know, say a pastor's like that, I am like that. He's all over the place. Today he's in this church, tomorrow he's in that church, sometimes he's sharing this. He's just all over the place, moving from church. I see him here, I won't see him again for the next 3 months, then he'll come back again. And I just didn't take it seriously. So when he came to me and started talking, I couldn't stretch myself to be there. Can I even say, even if I did, it wouldn't have worked. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I am so sure, for instance, that I'm not the only man of God he has sent for. So I'm just coming there to contribute my prayer. I always say this jokingly to you. When Mary and Martha asked for Jesus to come and pray for Lazarus, Jesus delayed. They didn't look for John the Baptist. They didn't call Nicodemus. There were many other rabbis in the town. I get what I'm saying. Jesus wasn't the only rabbi on earth at then. They didn't send for the next person. They waited. And when he didn't come and the brother died, when he came, they just said something to him. We know if you had been here, our brother would not die. Jesus was moved by their faith and everything they represented. And impartation works much more when there's relationship. I can tell there are people around me that even if I speak over them and it fails, I will shut down food for 8 days until I see it work. Because I have a responsibility over these ones. I know them. They know me. I will ask heaven why it's not working. That is that I can petition heaven. I say, why is this not working? I can. You get the point? Because I know them. I know them.
That's why it's good. That's good religion. It's good your heart is right. It's good your heart is right. And that takes me to the next one. The next thing that makes a petition work is honor. Honor. Value for the impartation. Relationship with the men God has put over your life. And honor for the men. When there is proper honor, value flows on that wheel of honor. Anointing flows upon the wheels of honor. That's how it works. When there is honor for the man, when you have honor. For instance, remember Hebrews 7 verse 7. The less is blessed of the better. In other words, if you do not think I am better than you, at least God has placed me in a position where I can bless you. Even if I speak, it's not going to work. You must have honor for who I am and whatsoever represents. That's why you go to Babalawo. They stay inside the bush. You find them and get to the bush. You know what you are practicing? You are practicing value and honor. You see what I'm saying now? Are you following me?
Yes,
sir. There are certain things I do, you know, that men of God do. You just think they are proud. It's not always pride. One of, somebody was trying to get me to pray for the father. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to one of my sons. And that my son said, carry your father from where you are to church. Pastor will pray. I said, why should I? I can't do that. He said, fine. Pastor will not pray. He didn't even tell me about it. He was just gisting me. And I didn't fault him. The secret is this. You want Babalawo to do jazz for you. You want him to do okite for you. Because you're a Yahoo boy. So what do you do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone should attend to them. Amen. You want Babalawo to do whatever for you. And what do you do? Just stay focused, stay focused, stay focused. Stay focused. Yes, Pastor Isu. Get there. Now, stay focused. Glory to God. You want him to do something for you. What do? You get straight to his house. You go as far as from here to wherever he stays. If he stays wherever, you're going to drive down to that place. Why are you doing that? Because you value, you know that whatever he's going to do is going to work. You get the point? You go that far. You go that far. You go that distance. But then when it's maybe one person to pray for you, why can't you come to my house and come and pray? There is no value. There is no honor. Are you feel what I'm saying? There is no value. There is no honor for whatever the man represents. And you wonder why it's not working. Look at that again. The less is blessed of the better. Shout a big amen.
Amen.
I say shout a big amen.
Amen.
So there must be value. There must be honor. That work, that makes impartation work. In Matthew 19 and verse 13, I'm looking at that again. They brought those children to Jesus so he could bless them. So he could bless them. By that action of bringing them to Jesus, it shows we honor what this man represents. Amen. And that's what I'm going to say to you. If your heart is not right, okay, you are going to struggle with receiving impartations. If your heart is in dishonor, if your heart is not right, if maybe you don't believe in the man of God, or maybe you say all these men of God, that's why all these men of God are fake. All this, whenever they begin to pray for you, it's not going to work. Why? There is a simple principle you are disobeying, principle of honor. Your heart is not right. So it's important you talk about honor. Let me say something very briefly. You know, I'll say more about this much later, maybe on Thursday. Is that okay? So there must be honor in your heart. Honor your heart. Honor your heart. Honor your heart. Honor your heart. If you do not think, you know, I used to watch William Branham minister to healing to the sick, and you always ask them, do you believe I'm a man of God sent by God? You always ask them, do you believe? Why is he asking that question? Because that's what will make this thing work. If you don't believe I'm a man of God sent by God, well, there's no point coming here. Nothing is special about this sand, except that it conducts the power of God. And that anointing that flows through this sand is intelligent. It's intelligent. What I mean by that is, I may not know you hate me. I may not know you dishonor me. I may not know all of that. But that anointing knows. You get the point? You know, the church is a very funny place. Someone can sit up and plot evil against pastor, and it's the church leader and say, "Pastor, I receive. The anointing knows." You get the point? Someone can have a very dishonorable heart towards a minister of God, and yet is around saying, "Oh, anything you say is the anointing knows." So that value in the heart, that honor for the anointed. Elisha wanted impartation from Elijah, and Elijah said, "Okay, what they are going to do is, if you see me." So everywhere he was going, Elisha was following. Elisha said, "Baba, give me this thing and let me be going. Which one is?" Say, "If you see me, if you have honor for the man, follow him around where he's going." That was the instruction he gave. Isaac wanted to bless Esau. He said, "Come, bring me food." Honor for the man. I agree what I'm talking about here now. Honor for the man. If you value that I'm going to do something, come bring food. Someone has said, "Which one is going to bring food again?" If you want to pray, pray. If you don't want to pray, let me start going home. It doesn't work that way. Now, is there anything connected to the food? No. Obeying to go and get that food is just to say, "I value what you want to do to me now. And I honor you, sir, for whatever you represent." And I'm seeing this all over the place. We are laying hands on people and say, "Okay, everybody just line up this way. If one person pray for you, line up, come and kneel down." Someone just said, why am I going to do that? Is it that way I'm standing? It's even my problem. Every true man of God doesn't really care whether he's honored or not. Let me even say this to you. Every true man of God should not preach honor because he wants people to honor him. He should preach honor for their own good. And that's the truth. The right of the preacher, you preach honor. Don't preach any message because you want. For instance, no man of God should preach giving because he wants people to give to him. You should preach giving for their own good. I get the point. So, no, the honor teaching is not so that, you know, as we begin to teach on it right now, you know, you will now begin to respect me. That's what I'm trying to teach you. That's not the point. You don't respect me. It's fine. I think I have enough respect in my life. Say amen. It's for your good. So when you put your heart right, so that whenever we are now speaking, we are sure that those words are going to work. Amen. Go read your Bible. Everywhere you find heavy impartation, you will see these things I mentioned. You see value, you see honor. Every time you find people, kids, some, whether it's spiritual gifts or whatever, you find those two things. Value, honor, you also see relationship around. Amen. Then let me say this finally for today. Thursday we're going to continue. Now, always, whenever invitation is coming, yield yourself. Yield yourself. That invitation. When we are laying hands on you or we're speaking words over you, yield yourself. If you yield yourself, you'll be able to receive properly. If you yield yourself. If you yield yourself. Because again, we are talking about your response. If you yield yourself, you'll be able to receive properly. Now, what we mean by that, when we are trying to, is everything fine? Okay. Glory to God. Glory. Don't be bothered. When such things happen, we have a medical team that can attend to them. Say amen. Won't you guys pray? They prayed for him outside. I'm so sure. Amen. So, I was talking about faith the other time, right? Faith is not foolishness. Faith is not against medical science. You get the point? I want to say that again. Faith, the fact that I say, "I'm a faith man, I will never take drugs," is a lie. Now, can you live by faith and not take drugs at all? Yes. You understand? But there are certain things that are not actually bad. I gave an example in that immersion teaching. If someone, a woman is pregnant, there are routine drugs you should take. Don't be a faith person and not take the drug. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not acting out of faith. Now, are you acting out of faith? If you have more faith in the drug you are taking than God's word, there's a problem. Know why there's a problem? If you ever get so sick and medicine said, "We can't handle this again," you will die. Because all your faith has been in the drugs. I know what I'm talking about. But there is a level where medicine can fail. You see what I'm saying now? Medicine can fail. Medicine can make mistake. But since you've always been teaching your heart to rely on God's word will also work. So there is no cause for alarm. Okay? Now, back to what I was saying.
I say, yield yourself. Yield yourself.
You know, I say this jokingly. People want to lay hands on people, and someone is better. Will I fall? I will never fall.
You know, those guys used to do those days. You want to lay hands on us? Just throw your leg like this. See, this man cannot fall me.
Nobody's trying to fall you.
Do you understand?
Let me even address this falling matter. I don't think I'll go full into it today. Now, is it okay for people to fall down when hands are laid on them? Can people fall? Is it a sin when people fall? If people don't fall, is there a problem?
I want to say, first of all, within the short time I have, that it's not out of place for people to fall down when they come in contact with God's power and with God's glory. It's not out of place for people to fall. I can show you many scriptures in Revelation 1 verse 17. When John came, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet as dead. That was, he came in contact with Jesus. He had a vision of Jesus. He fell as dead. I was checking the Greek for that word. He fell and laid as a corpse. I think it was Message. I mean, it was Passion that said he fainted. So he passed out at coming in contact with that glory. That can happen. Okay? In Genesis 17 verse 1, when Abraham, you know, Genesis 17 and verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to him and all of that. Verse 2, said, I'll make my covenant with thee and all of that. Verse 3, he said, Abraham fell on his face. So he fell on his face. So I can take you through the whole Bible. I can show you Joshua, Ezekiel. Sometimes we see them fall in reverence. Sometimes people come in contact with God's glory and all of that, and they prostrate before him in reverence. In reverence. Some other times, okay, for instance, in Matthew 17 and verse 5, some other times they don't fall in reverence. They fall because that glory knocks them out. Matthew 17 and verse 3. Glory to God. Sorry, verse 5 and 6, rather, not verse 3. Verse 5. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were so afraid. But there was a particular case where, when they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus asked them, what are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I told them, I am he. Then they said, I am he. They fell back. You know what I'm saying? It's not out of place for people to go down under the power of God when they come in contact with that glory. In Acts chapter 9, we see Paul come in contact with that glory of God. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. He said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. He fell. This wasn't reverence. It wasn't like referencing God. He fell. It knocked him out. I know what I'm saying. I have many scriptures to show you, but not to that. We don't have time. Maybe on Thursday I'm going to go over them. So it said, not he fell. So it's not out of place. You may fall sometimes unconsciously. By that we mean sometimes not by your control. Some other times you can, you know, some other people fall in reverence. For instance, there are people that when you come to lay hands on them, they kneel down. That's reverence. Or even lie down. That's okay. I get the point. The most important thing is not whether you fall or you stand. You can fall unconsciously. You can prostrate deliberately. You can kneel where words are speaking, are spoken. You can rejoice. The important thing is that you yield yourself. Not just in your heart, but your action. If let me ask you a question. I'm just telling you how it works. I'm coming to pray for you. They say, I want to be able to heal the sick. And I'm walking towards you, they lay hands on you, and you're standing like this, looking at me. I possibly will not pray for you. You are not yielded to whatever that is coming. He says, do you know my heart? That's the point. I don't know your heart. That's saying the same. I don't know your heart. But imagine someone else is coming.
He lifts his hands, he lies down or he kneels down. He's expecting. He's saying, I'm yielding myself. I don't know if I'm going to fall or not. But I'm not actually bothered whether I fall or not. The important thing is, I'm yielding myself to whatever that's going to happen this moment. You get the point? And then, I tell you what else you should do. Yield yourself. When we now lay hands on you, and those words are spoken, respond accordingly. What is accordingly is that whatever that comes to your spirit at that time. When hands are laid on you, and I speak, I say, in the name of Jesus, let's talk about financial whatever now. Say, the Lord has changed your financial fortune. And what you used to struggle with. Now, this is one way. Some people can shout. Someone can begin to dance. That's a response to the impartation. Someone can prostrate. You see all these men, there was no one that came together with God's glory that it didn't affect his posture. Read your Bible. They will either kneel or lie down or jump. Can't read your Bible. I'll take you through. From Ezekiel, all of them that came in contact, you told it, sometimes they prostrate. That's worth responding. Worth responding. Some people just keep praying. Some people just lift their hands and just keep praying. That's why you don't receive impartation casually. You yield yourself. Don't receive impartation casually. I just lay hands on you and say, oh, God is blessing you. You say, amen, amen. You're good. Nothing is going to happen. And this is, I'm getting wiser to not even lay hands on you. At all. Yeah. I'll skip you. Without any emotions. I won't even feel bad. I'm not saying that's why I skip people all the time. That's not always why. As soon as I can just skip you because I don't, you know, there are people that are just too excited. And sometimes what I'm giving them, you really don't need it. You understand? Huh? Okay, I just tell this story. Brother Hagin was in a meeting, you know, ministering like this. And then, He spoke in tongues and all of that. And then his son came up and interpreted the tongues. His son came up and said, you know, that there is an impartation here for people who are in ministry. If you're in ministry, you're a pastor, you're a leader and all of that, you should come out as an impartation. And people came out, you know, people just came out, lifted their hands. And he wanted to pray, but he just kept speaking in tongues. And then it was the wife that picked up the mic. I said, what dad is trying to say by the Spirit is that there are some of you here who are not ministers serving in a church or something. That is, the petition is not actually for you. You should go back to your seats. So there are such things. So there are many things. But I'm saying, half of the time when people skip people is because some people are not yielding to it. They're ministering, they're shouting, you're getting blessed. A lot of these people are just, people are raising their hand, shouting on top of their lungs. Some are kneeling, some are prostrating, some are rejoicing. And one person is moping around like somebody hits 2x2 on his head. Just moping around like they hit his brain. Have you ever seen when they hit somebody just... When people hit their head on the floor, they get up and they're very confused. They don't know where they are. And that's how people mope around in church. You must have that kind of heart and receptive. And let it show. You get the point? Let it show. Hands about to let on you. Yield yourself. Will you fall? Maybe. But then when the words now begin to come, respond accordingly. There are certain words you hear from God. All you just want to do is just to prostrate and lie down. Do that. Yield yourself. There are certain things you hear from God. All you just want to do is to jump and run. That's responding to the Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes you hear from God, you just want to kneel down and start crying. That is still as valid as falling under power. The important thing is that you are responding to the word being spoken. Do you understand what I'm saying now? It's still as valid as falling under power. There are people that will hear. Now, that's why you realize, is it every time people fall and are rolling on the floor that they're on? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not that people fall and are rolling on the floor that are unconscious. Sometimes they are conscious. But sometimes there is something bubbling on your inside at that moment. It's not like you don't know yourself at that moment. It's just that how you feel, the only thing you want to do now is roll on the floor. That's right response. I get what I'm saying. It's not like you're unconscious. It's not like you don't know yourself. It's not like you wake up and say, where am I? Where am I? That is, those where am I experience too. Yeah, it can happen to people. But not at all times. Sometimes somebody's just responding to what is happening. Sometimes things are laid on you. All you just want to do is to scream. Because sometimes it may be what the man of God is saying. It might be what you are hearing in your own spirit at the moment. I get what I'm saying. That's why I don't receive invitation casually. Receive it with yieldedness. You yield yourself to it. You yield yourself to it. Hallelujah. You yield yourself to it. Sometimes you will fall down. Sometimes you will run. Sometimes you will just dance. Sometimes there's a little, you just want to stay there and just pray. Yield yourself to however you feel at that moment. Are you following me? Yield yourself to whatever you feel at that moment. Yield yourself to whatever that word does to your spirit at that moment. Dance if you must. Rejoice if you must. Shout if you must. Hallelujah. Just yield yourself. What you are doing is that you are receiving. How did Elisha respond to Elijah's invitation? The cloak fell. He picked that cloak and just shouted. I'm going to come this on Thursday. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? What a response. Come on. Hallelujah. He first shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. He didn't fall down, but he was responding to something. The next thing which I will touch on Thursday, he just got to Jordan River, struck Jordan, Jordan divided. Every impartation must demand something from you. On Thursday, we're going to look at that. But respond well. Respond well. If I'm preaching and I say you are blessed, don't just casually say amen. Respond well. There are certain things you hear in your spirit. Let your heart, as your spirit is bubbling, let your emotions follow through. And it follows you. Dance if you must. Jump if you must. Roll if you must. And I'm not talking about acting. But again, it's a spiritual thing. That's what I'm saying. Please, you are not going to impress anybody. Say, are there people that are falling under anointing? Yes. Am I bothered about it? No. It's your business. You are the actor. We're not watching film here. I get the point. Now, am I going to stop praying for people because people forge it? No. I say a clip on social media. I want to believe it was. I want to believe it was acted. If it was acted, the people that acted it are foolish. If it wasn't acted, the man of God that said that, God will help him. That's all I'm going to say. But the man of God was saying, all the people that follow the anointing, if you break anything in this church, you're going to pay. That is making light of a spiritual reality, a spiritual experience that we have. What kind of, you know what they have just done? You are stopping people from responding. In other words, if they are praying for me, I should just be conscious of whether I'm going to break seats. What's the point? Are we playing? Is it drama? Can people break this when they fall under the power? Yes. And if you think they can't, one day you will. Now, do we encourage that? No. That's why there are departments in church that make sure those things don't happen. That's all. I get the point. That's why some just will get into here. You see us, we pack up the seats. You get the point? Sometimes you find the media team and technical team carrying their stand and all of that. Because we know that sometimes the power of God can come that way and people can just lose consciousness. And yield yourself to that. There's nothing wrong with that. I get what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. Run if you must. Shout if you must. Rejoice if you must. Cry if you must. Roll if you must. Just yield yourself. At that moment, you are receiving something. And God is changing you. God is changing you. Lift your hands all over this place. Just pray in the Holy Ghost this place. Lift your hands, lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray just for like 2 minutes on top of your voice in the Holy Ghost. Pray, 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 pray. You have just a minute more to pray.
Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ooh, ya ya ya, shembra de kakediando zabandas. In the name of Jesus. Now, in the words of Isaac to Jacob, I'm going to speak over you. May God give you the dew of the heavens. May He give you the dew of the heavens. May He give you the fatness of the earth. May He give you abundance of grain and new wine. Let people serve you. Let nations bow to you. Let nations bow to you. Let everyone who curses you be cursed. May you be favored with blessings. May everyone who blesses you experience the blessing. In the name of Jesus. May you enjoy the best of this life. May you enjoy the richness of the earth. May we, everywhere you are, every city, part of the city you live in, may that place yield her increase unto you. In the name of Jesus. You will eat the good of the land. You will eat the best of the land. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. The Lord make you 1,000 times more. May the Lord cause people to serve you. By that will mean, may He cause people to respond to you when you need help. May He cause help to come your way when you need it. In the name of Jesus. God has blessed you. And it's done. Glory to God. Stand your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. Do you want to rejoice in the Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.